Bending the Arc is an offering of the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition and is offered here on KKRN Community Supported Radio. On this show, we interview people who are engaged in different aspects of caring for, inviting change in the criminal legal system. Thank you for listening. And for more about the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition or the show, please check out the archives on KKRN.org. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Ashley Post of RARE. We're going to go into all that that means and a little bit more about RARE, but we're going to begin where we always begin. And Ashley, just introduce yourself to our listeners and whatever you feel is important, whatever you want to say to kind of ground our conversation.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Ashley Post. I was born and raised here in Reading. I did move away for a number of years. I played professional hockey and then moved back once I had a family. You know, my roots are here. I went to nursing school, and I have for the last 12 years been practicing as an emergency room nurse in much of the North State. I traveled around during COVID, and so it's been kind of the journey for me the last little while.
Cool. Where'd you play hockey?
Oh, gosh, all over the country. So I started when I was 9, started playing at Viking Skate Country, got real, real good, got sponsored, moved to Vegas when I was 16, lived there for about 6 years. But while I was there, spent a lot of time in Southern California, Canada, traveled all around playing, played on lots of different all-star teams, and it was quite the experience.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Good. I'm glad I asked.
Right?
So I introduced you as being involved with RARE.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to introduce listeners to what RARE stands for and, you know, kind of give us a little bit of background about how it came to be.
Yeah, definitely. RARE stands for Reading Area Resistance and Education. People can look for us on Instagram is probably the best place to find us. There's an area there that you can sign up to volunteer. And there's, of course, the bio and all of our info there. It's a pretty recent group that got started. A lot of us were really just kind of at our wits' end with what was going on, both locally and nationally and worldwide. And we kind of found each other from different groups. There was like Shasta for Palestine and a lot of different little left of left groups. I know a lot of us have tried to dabble in a little bit different collectives and really just never were really able to find our people. And the minute that we started to gather, we were like, wow, these are our people. We really share the same ideology and the same vision for what we want in our community. And it has just blossomed from there. And it's been really great to see.
So I have two questions that are related. One is, how are you seeing or understanding that shared ideology? And also, what's the variation that you see? You know, I've been mm-hmm. involved in a lot of coalitions over my life, and usually there's a kind of a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shared focus and passion, but
yeah.
a range.
Yeah.
So what's it like for RARE?
We have a range, but I mean, we all really do share the same sentiment that we all understand that the only way to get out of any of this is to build community. And it does seem that the more you strive to build a strong community, the deeper left you go. And so with that, we tend to, you know, we're all quite anti-fascists. And I know that that has, you know, we'll touch on that a little bit later. That has a little bit of a nasty connotation that goes with it. But, you know, our group has really understood that we're all pretty outspoken people. And so when we say something that we're used to getting some resistance on, those people are like, yes, let's hear more about that. Let's talk more about that. And then to hear somebody be like, yeah, let's talk more about that, has been really heartwarming.
I do think there's a real hunger for that level of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly there's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of divisiveness. We see that, you know,
yeah.
all around shouting differences of opinions.
Yeah.
But in terms of really taking a stance, and I'm going to say something that's unpopular that
yeah.
I don't think you agree with,
mm-hmm.
and feel free to ask me what I mean by that.
Yeah.
I think there's a hunger for that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been hungry for that for years. I mean, I've always been an activist. I've been a vegetarian nearly my entire life. You know, I got suspended from high school as a teenager for putting meat as murder in my lockers. You know, I think that, you know, there are some of us, those that are silly enough to believe they can change the world, do. You have to be willing to be hated by a lot of people. You have to be willing to get grief from a lot of people. But you know, I've been willing to stand up on a lot of soapboxes, and I notice that when I do, there are people that are there to listen and that want to do it as well. And that's where I have found so much joy in my passions and people that really support that and encourage that, you know, and it's made me grow so much more as a person just being involved with these groups of people, you know, and you talked about the conflict, and, you know, we, of course, as any group, you know, have had conflict, and especially when you get people that are very strong-minded, very outspoken, and it has been, again, life-changing how people can really resolve conflict. You know, we have people, I said I'm a nurse, we have therapists, we have students that have just graduated from universities, we have retired teachers, you know, we have all sorts of different demographics, Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, trans people, all different ages, all sorts of different, you know, ideologies from the beginning. And then as we've all grown and learned, you know, we've, again, that's how we build the community, is having all different types of people that have to offer all different sorts of things. Another one of the quotes that I always love is, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it thinks it's stupid for its entire life. Mm-hmm. And we have been able to really foster our passions and our strengths that we do have within this group. And it's, I've just been able to watch everybody in their own lives blossom because of that too. So that's been really great.
Mm-hmm. And that's also a, no pun intended, rare thing to find.
Yeah.
Where those groups where there is such incredible diversity, and age is one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the times that I saw you before we began talking was at a meeting of largely gray-haired
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many nonprofits here that tend to be more retired people.
Yep.
Who have been, you know, involved.
Absolutely.
In the community for a while. You know, what's your pitch to
Yeah.
groups like that about coming together?
Bless all of them. Bless everyone. They have done so much fighting, and I understand that it's got to be extremely frustrating for that demographic to continue to be fighting over the same things that they've been fighting for. Trying to build a bridge with that group has been a little bit difficult, just because, you know, times have changed. You know, law enforcement has changed, tactics have changed, the administration has changed. We have never seen anything like this. You know, there have been people that, you know, protested Vietnam and protested for all sorts of things, but it wasn't what's happening now. So times have changed. And there is a little bit of headbutting that goes on there, because it's hard to get people who have done the work to understand that maybe we have to try a different approach. And so that's been where we're really trying to come out with the educational piece, is educating people on current events and current ways that people are just tackling all of these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming together as a collective to talk about that. But it's been a little bit difficult. We've gotten some resistance, but we know that that's to be expected too. So.
It's in your name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, that piece about even something that seems as simple about how do you gather and meet and how do you communicate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The times really have changed.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast about, you know, what are we learning from the New York mayoral race?
Yeah.
And part of it was really the attention to listening.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the strategic use of social media, which you all do very well.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get away from meta platforms. Instagram is really just there as a face because we know
mm-hmm.
we have to have it. We, you know, people have to meet in person. I mean, that's really just the bottom line. We have done so much collective talking over social media and being keyboard warriors that the time for that is over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing for us, is educating people where you can be of service in your community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the personal fulfillment that you can get from that, and then seeing what it does in your community, is what keeps people coming back, you know, and the mutual aid is a great example of that. You know, people get their hands dirty, so to speak, on literally feeding the community, and that feels so good. You see the impact that that makes, and that brings people back. Like, I want to do more. What else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we're really trying to help people find, where they can be of service.
Mm-hmm. And to me, there's I often hunger for a talk where it's a mutual discussion mm-hmm. about where to serve based on your mm-hmm. circumstances. Or like Angela yeah. Davis, I remember, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but someone asked her, like, where do I serve? And she said, mm-hmm. where's your passion?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, where your passion is and skills, yep. there is a way yep. to and meet those needs.
That's the great thing about the way that we're structured too, a very anti-hierarchical structure. We have no leaders, we have no representatives. Everybody gets an equal piece in their say. We want everybody's voice to be heard. And, you know, to see that genuinely in practice, I will say is miraculous. You know, I've been, again, the hunger for this, something like this is so long. You know, the deeper we've gotten into fascism in this country, the more social structures in the power has taken over. It's really beautiful to watch how all of that works with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, since we've already talked about fascism twice, there is such an allergic response.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm on all ends mm-hmm. about using some words that we've decided that we know what they mean and we've yeah. taken a stance on.
Mm-hmm.
Communism, socialism, mm-hmm. anti-fascism,
yep.
abolition.
So the whole anti-fascism, Antifa thing does really kind of make me giggle because there's no organization of Antifa, you know?
Yeah, that would surprise
yeah.
some people, right? Because they come in buses.
Right, exactly. Yeah, George Soros is giving everybody a paycheck for that. I'm still waiting for mine. Yeah. So yeah, it does have a pretty negative connotation. And my, you know, rebuttal to that is like, shouldn't we all be anti-fascist? Like, I'm not in Antifa. There's no Antifa, but I am an anti-fascist. And I think that we all should be. So the fact that you're really at, you know, that people will ask that question, I was like, this is alarming to me because are you a fascist? You know, are you encouraging fascism? You know? So yeah, the Antifa thing, you know, does kind of make me, it would make me giggle if it didn't become dangerous for people, you know, because they don't understand. It puts target on people's backs for, again, wanting to build community and not have a dictator, you know, and then we're viewed as some evil radical leftists, mm-hmm. you know, which again makes me chuckle, but then it just makes me realize the miseducation and that's going on out there mm-hmm. about some of that.
Yeah, I appreciate that comment about it being dangerous because when I was scrolling through some of the, you know, just general what the web took mm-hmm. me to mm-hmm. about, you know, anti-fascism, there was several local media reports about mm-hmm. Antifa
yep.
protesters.
Yeah, which I found very timely with what's going on in LA because, you know, there's been a group of people left of center that have been pretty boisterous in this town for a really long time. And so then I find it very interesting when you get a group of people that show up to participate in democracy but are trying to maybe hide their identity for their own protection, how they're labeled as Antifa. And I don't know about you, but I don't think that anybody that would be in a radical, leftist, violent group would be speaking for 3 minutes at a Board of Supervisors meeting. So to me, again, it made me chuckle because I'm like, these people are what you think are violent? Now I can see how something in LA gets so misconstrued
mm-hmm.
if these people are being labeled as violent people.
Mm-hmm.
So it does become very dangerous. I mean, I have lots of people trying to dox me. You know, I'm sure you see you make a post on KRCR and the next thing you know, people want to hang you from the courthouse. So it is dangerous and people, and that's part of what RARE tries to do is try to just educate people on why the current wave of things are going the way that they are.
Mm-hmm. What about that other term of anarchy or what it means to be an anarchist?
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand that?
Well, anarchy is an interesting one because, again, I think when people think anarchist, they think you want to literally burn everything down. And whereas I suppose that essentially is true because that you need the entire system to fall. You know, that the system as it is not functioning. And again, like we've said with our group, you know, you can't have a hierarchy, you know, because that is all, you're always going to have people in power that are trying to control other people. And it really just doesn't work. So do I have an answer of what exactly that's going to look like? No, but I definitely know that the system as it was created was not meant to represent us all,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I do think that I would consider myself an abolitionist. I do think that most systems have to fall and that we have to build community. I mean, mm-hmm. being a nurse and having my experience in nursing and seeing what leads to crime and poverty and illness, I mean, it starts at poverty, you know, and if we fix that problem, we're going to fix a lot of the problems in the country.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the tensions that we see in the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition. We have the focus is on criminal mm-hmm. legal system mm-hmm. and concerns, similar concerns. There's probably a range among the membership, some who are looking more at reform, those mm-hmm. little incremental changes mm-hmm. within the system as it exists,
yeah.
and some who might be, and probably fewer, mm-hmm. on the abolition side.
Yeah.
But I find a lot of people who are in the middle mm-hmm. and concerned about, I think we conceptualize as a society abolition like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would really love to hear more articulation of, well, what is that bridging? What does that transformation look like? Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear you saying part of that mm-hmm. is the community mm-hmm. building
yeah.
in addition to other things that mm-hmm. you're doing. How do you balance? And I know you are here up for rare, but not yeah. representing
not
all
as a
the
representative,
group,
right? Yes, yes.
But how do you think about holding that tension in the journey towards something
yeah.
completely different?
I think, again, that education. People simply don't know so many of these facts for good reason. I mean, there's it's a big world. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of statistics, a lot of, you know, things. And so I would think and I would hope that people listen to experts in the area. You know, again, my education in nursing has made me learn a lot of things, you know, one of which, like, I don't know if you know what ACE scores are,
mm-hmm.
Adverse childhood events. And it's a simple 10 question questionnaire. Things like, do you have a parent that was an alcoholic? Were you ever kicked, beaten, molested by a parent? It's a simple 10 questions. And that right there does give us a pretty good, you know, image on maybe how your life's going to turn out. I love telling people that I have an ACE score of 9, you know. I've had a lot of traumatic things happen to me in my life, but I was lucky enough to have a community that supported me. I had the availability to go to the therapy, which can be very whitewashed and very colonized, but it's really important for a lot of people. And so I had a lot of things to be able to support me to get me to where I am today. And in learning that, it was really mind blowing to me because I was like, wow, if we could fix this number, and that's really what that shows us, if we could fix this number, we could fix a lot of problems, because there are statistics right there that you can just Google as to the odds that you'll turn into an alcoholic, that you will be houseless, you know, and a lot of things. And that's not to victim blame at all. It's really just to understand what causes a lot of these things. And mm-hmm. in my experience, you know, poverty and trauma is kind of the biggest indicator of most things.
They're big.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where, again, the community comes in. If we can help support people and what they need in their basic human care, then you're going to have a lot less crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people are supported in their basic needs, and that's where you look to other countries and how they function and flourish. And if you look to the happiest of countries, they do happen to be socialist countries. You have to take care of people's basic minimum needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it's really as easy as that.
So why don't we try this?
You're listening to Bending the Arc on KKRN, community-supported radio, and I'm speaking to Ashley Post of Rare. Whenever I hear vases, I think a slide about pair of vases. Have you ever seen that one?
I haven't.
It's a visual of a tree.
Okay.
And at the roots, there's some of the very things that you're talking about, like poverty, discrimination,
mm-hmm.
Health issues, mental health issues, all of those things that seed the soil
yeah.
for things that can happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like I've lived a very full 42 years, you know, with traveling around. I had lots of family in law enforcement. I was a military wife for 14 years. So being a queer, you know, so I feel like I've seen, you know, I feel like I'm part of a marginalized community, even though I am a white woman. And so, seeing a lot of the different things and have really been impacted by these things, again, has made me want to go out and try to better my community even more.
Mm-hmm. When you have public manifestations or demonstrations, that it gives people hope or maybe even cover to be able to stand up and say
Absolutely.
What you want. Something that we, you know, many of us look to Congress like, well, if we had a couple of people that would stand up, mm-hmm. Others might feel more.
Yeah. Yeah. Mob mentality able. In a good way, you know, mm-hmm. and the local protests were, you know, and all the nationwide protests are a good example of that. You know, they've grown each time. Our numbers have grown each time we have an event, each time we have a workshop, we have more people that it drives that hunger too. Like we talked about it. Wow. This is a group of people that, yeah, I want to learn more. I want to know more. And you said there's been a lot of people in that middle ground that haven't really known where to go, you know, and they going left seems scary, you know, going farther left because of the negative connotations that's gone with it. But then you get into that and then you're like, oh, this is not what I was expecting or how I was misled. You know, this is a real group of people, again, that just want to be of service to the community and to all humans.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, that the in-person connecting with people one-on-one that you mentioned is that, it, you know, it's such a common experience that when you actually talk to people that you have already decided you don't like or don't understand or mm-hmm. whatever, it's a completely different experience.
You know, again, like I said, being from a law enforcement family, and people listen to my views on law enforcement and believing that the police need to be, you know, the nasty defunding, which, again, if you were to sit and listen to really what people mean by that, you would think differently. Mm-hmm. You know, they just think, oh, you hate cops and how could you, you know, be from a law enforcement family and hate cops? And it's like, but wait a minute, that means I saw a lot personally too. So maybe listen to the things that I saw and what my experience was, because you're right. I did see it with my own eyes for a really long time. And so those, again, I think living the life and having the experiences I do sometimes I feel gives me, a little bit an easier discussion with people. Cause I'm like, wait a minute, I've lived this experience. So let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the protests, and it's one of the things that I wanted to talk about mm-hmm. because, and maybe especially if you go to some of older populations, mm-hmm. There's this, you know, people are on a continuum. One, like, no one's going to listen. You're only going to have the people who are, who think like you. You're not going to change minds mm-hmm. to you, to this is what we need to do. And to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And there's so much room in the middle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So for you, what's the role of protest in a movement towards achieving more?
Yeah. Whatever the goal is these days.
Yeah. We'll get to some of your goals.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I think that protests have a great, absolute great use and they're very necessary. I think that people need to make sure that there's an organization to them. There's a structure to them. There's a goal. There's a commonality other than just standing there holding the sign. Does that also do something? Absolutely. Draws attention. It can build community, but that's where I hope that during the protests and the people that organize them keep those in mind and have that common goal and listen to some of the complaints from people that they do complain about the protests mm-hmm. and how do we counter that narrative, you know? And, you know, because a lot of what you hear is what good is that doing, you know? And so, but again, what they probably don't see is the camaraderie that's building at these protests. And I support people wanting to protest. RARE doesn't have anything to do with organizing any protests or, to be honest with you, really participating in much of them because we're busy building the community. You know, we mm-hmm. really have, that has been a gigantic, mm-hmm. gigantic focus of ours. And we know that we are in better use educating people, feeding the community, getting resources to the community and doing that. I do, again, I love a good protest, but I hope that people keep the goal in mind. Mm-hmm. and not just out there asking for answers, you know, and that's kind of the thing that we need to really learn about this administration is daddy's not coming to save us. Nobody's coming to save us. That has not ever been the plan. We have to save ourselves. And so protests for me personally these days have been a great place to poach people, you know, hey, I see that you want to be involved and I see that you're angry. Like you said, what's your passion? What's your interest? And, oh, is it school board meetings? Well, have you gone to your child's school board meeting? You know, you want to get involved in local politics? Well, did you know the schedule for the Board of Supervisors meeting? And so just helping people find out where their avenue is. Mm-hmm. And by all means, if you want to run with that, you want to start a club and teach us all, let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and just really giving people that freedom too. So my hope with the protests is that's what will happen, is we will get more community building and people actively involved as they're sitting there talking to their peers at the protest.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a whole aspect of communicating the range of protests that are happening. Same kind of not feeling alone.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's so many different things that you all do. And we started out with education. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the kinds of education that you all foster. What you mean by that? What you're finding is most important here for us?
Well, people, again, for their own reason, you know, if you've lived in a bubble and you've never been a part of a marginalized community, you've never been affected by certain wars, there's been no reason for you to really look it up. And, you know, we have a lot of conflicts that are going on right now. And we have a lot of people that have been either actively involved in activism on college campuses. You know, we have people that are from varying countries that have direct experience. So we do a lot of workshops on educating people, and not just the education, but opening a community floor to have a discussion so that we can all talk about what's going on. And like I said, we have therapists in the group, we have nurses in the group, we have experience. So we hold a lot of space for people to, you know, hold big emotions, resources for them to go to, and just let's all talk about this and try to get a little better educated on what's going on and how we can fix it. You know, because if you don't know what's going on, people think the conflict in Gaza has been going on for thousands of years, where it has not, you know? And so just giving people the space to ask silly questions, tell us that they don't understand. And again, we're not the experts on everything. We might have somebody come to talk to us that has a lot of experience in that, and we're all ears, you know? So we just recently did a workshop on that, on the conflict in Iran and Israel. And to talk about that a little bit, we have workshops on de-escalation techniques for people at protests, you know, because people, we have local militia members that are not very happy about some of the protesting. And that's really scary to some people that have never protested before. And there are people that, you know, like I said, in our group that have protested on college campuses, of people, you know, we have people in their 70s that have, you know, protested in Berkeley, you know, so we all have, you know, our shared experience that we can gather and talk about. Again, how we can come together as a community more effectively. We try to do workshops, things like that. Trying to think of another workshop that we did recently. There's been so many things going on just in the last year. And again, this has really just been this year, I think, that we've all formed. And it became, I think we're up to like 700 followers on the Instagram now. And people are just hungry for this. And again, like I said, we're not experts. We're just a group of people that have gathered. Some of us have information in different things. And we can just learn from each other. I've learned immense amounts. And again, it's just giving me the freedom to be like, hey, I'm not an expert. I thought I was. I used to love calling myself a leftist until I started hanging out with leftists. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not as much of a leftist as I thought. And so it's just, again, those conversations. And like you said, you have to have them in person. We, you know, I had to get together, and this group over here is talking about the conflict in Gaza. And these people over here are talking about how they're going to feed the community and these people. And it's just so heartwarming. And so many of us are sober. You know, we're doing this sober. again, just a great, and you know, this blew my mind when we had one of the event, and somebody showed up with pizzas from a local pizza shop. They made sure that half of them were vegetarian. Somebody brought fruit and vegetables, but they chopped the fruits and vegetables and made dip. And, you know, those things might seem silly, but to a person that's been, you know, health conscious and vegetarian and trying to support local businesses, to have people show up that I don't even have to tell, that I don't even have to be like, hey, maybe we should shop local. You know, hey, maybe don't go to Starbucks. Maybe go to Old Shasta Coffee Company or a local coffee place and keep your money local. You know, that's not even a conversation. You know, that's just the bottom line for us, you know, the bare minimum. So it's been really great. A little plug for Old Shasta there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great
great
coffee
place,
company.
Great place, yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Bending the Arc on KKRN, and I'm speaking to Ashley Post of Rare. Well, the education, I really wanted to ask you about education too, because I think a lot of people conceptualize education as very unidirectional.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody, the expert's going to tell you.
Yep.
But really, the deeper meaning or the roots of the word is really that more dynamic. And what a great way to become more informed and to model if, hey, I'm not the expert, I'm very concerned, this is what I've learned, what do you know? Where can you go to find out more?
Yeah. Absolutely. And we always ask, you know, who's the next, you know, I've thrown out many ideas that I'm like, I would love to see this happen, but I've just never been able to like bring it to fruition. And somebody's like, oh my God, me too. That's been my passion. And the next thing you know, you've got a 10-page instructional manual on maybe how we should go about this or a schedule. And people, they're just such go-getters. And so yeah, that's been a really great piece of it. You know, and we have people that just, words are their passion, you know, and they just know how to word things in a way that will resonate with people. So I'll put out this little blurb and then somebody will be like, well, maybe it sounds a little more elegant this way, or, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so great. You know? So yeah, it's been really great. And the, you know, the biggest thing is, like I said, we're all a bunch of neurospicy people, you know, really who isn't. A lot of introverts in the group. I happen to be quite the extrovert. But within that, even, you know, I kind of almost want to read you this little part that actually made me tear up a little bit, because I know I'm a loud voice. I'm probably not going to be able to find it here. I'm a loud voice. I talk a lot. I can take the floor a lot. But so here's just a little bit of a blurb. Should not put any person that is a part of any social, historically marginalized community or background, or even those who have not spoken yet, at the top of the stack. This puts them at the top of the stack. This ensures that those with marginalized voices are always heard and not to tread underneath those with the majority perspective or background. So just because I have a loud voice, just because I'm the one that happens to volunteer for things, there's always a pause that's like, hey, let's listen. Does anybody that hasn't spoken today want to say anything? Is there anybody, you know? And so we make sure and always hold that floor for people. And I, being the person that continues to just roll with the floor, loved that, because I want to make sure that those voices are heard, you know? And so that makes me stop and pause often. And that's one of the biggest things that I've loved about this group is, again, it gives me a lot of cause for pause.
Right, right. And you really need those guidelines.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah, especially with that mix. So mutual aid is another thing that you talked about, and
it's become a great love of mine.
Yeah. Talk to us about that, because I think that's another, there are people who know exactly what you mean when you talk about mutual aid and others who are fuzzy on the concepts. And also the fact that there are different groups doing different things, I think is such a beautiful thing to note. So tell us how you understand and interact with people so that they understand what mutual aid is.
Yeah. Mutual aid, for me, really just means giving and supporting people that need it. And that can be a wide variety of areas and of people. You know, people immediately just think of feeding people, which is a gigantic part of it. You know, we want to feed people. My vision is that, and the vision that we've discussed as a group, is to have a community garden and to also facilitate everybody else to have their own garden. I've been a gardener my entire life, and as much as I'm a nurse and I love to heal people, I want to feed the community. I want to feed as many people as I can. I've, like I said, been a vegetarian my whole life. I love growing my own food, and I would love to share that with everybody. I think that being a steward of the land is one of the greatest gifts that you can offer Mother Earth, you know? And so with that, we really want to, you know, I'm a huge gardener. Let's go to your house. What can you offer me? Oh, you have grapefruits. I'll help prune your grapefruit trees, and then we can get some of that grapefruit to feed the community, and you got your trees trimmed. You know, and so it can look like that. It can look like clothing drives. You know, like we had said, we have a lot of trans people in our group, and there's a lot of trans people in the community. And so offering them a closet where we can come together and share clothes and give them a safe space to do that shopping. Harm reduction. You know, like you said, there's a lot of groups in town that are already doing mutual aid. So kind of trying to get all of us together and how we can support each other. And so we've been able to partner with harm reduction. And so when we go out, we're giving fentanyl test strips and Narcan, you know, and like I said, I'm a nurse. I carry a medical bag with me and do street medic type things, basic wound care, directing them to where the Hope van is and making sure that they can have resources. Something that is I've been leading actually now with the mutual aid is an experience I had with a woman that deeply impacted me, and it seems to have impacted a lot of other people. We were going to hand out food, and I met this woman, and she was being very quiet. She didn't want to talk to me, and you have to really earn your trust with the houseless population because they are assaulted and beaten and robbed and arrested and harassed on a daily basis. And so we really just want to show up and just be one of them because we are. You know, we're no better than them. We're all one life event away from being on the streets, you know? And so we show up and we just hang out with these people and ask them what they need, you know? And so there was a woman that was not really wanting to chat. And I looked down and I noticed that her shorts were covered in blood. And so I said, oh, we have some feminine hygiene products. You need some like tampons and pads. And she's like, I don't even have underwear to attach a pad to. So that's not going to really do me much good. And it really makes you realize in that moment, like, oh my God, I'm thinking of like from a really privileged position, what I can give these people. You know, I have to really rethink what these people need. And so I had remembered that they make period panties now. And I was like, but I had only, they were like $30 and they're really spending, you know, buy them online. So I'm like, well, hold it here. I did run to Walmart, even though I hate Walmart, but it's a quick and easy place to grab resources for somebody in town. They have period panties. Hanes now makes period panties. So for $20 for a few pair of panties, you know, I could get some period panties. I bought multiple sizes, a couple pairs of shorts, went back out and she was still there. And she just broke. She's like, I have been on the streets for a long time and nobody has ever, like, who are you? And I was just like, you know, we're just people that want to help. And if this is something that you need, then yeah. And the other women were like, oh my gosh, I've heard of these. That's so great. And I was like, well, here guys, have these. I have them. And you could see it in their faces. And then I thought, oh my gosh, that is something huge for them. It reduces garbage in the streets. It reduces the health hazard. It reduces the need for having all these things. And so leading with that story, I've had people go, I have money on that. I want to give you $100 to go buy those for people. Mm-hmm. And that's just been the biggest thing, which is great for me because I love to talk and yip-yap with people and tell people the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And people hear that and they want to be a part of that. And so that's been a great thing, telling people what we're doing. And so many silent supporters, you know, businesses that want to donate food, but maybe need to do it a little more quietly because we live in Reading and they're going to get a rock through their window if they're known to support these types of things, which is sad. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had multiple things. We're all very worried for our safety. You know, I'm worried really honestly talking about this on the radio because of the safety concerns. You know, we had a gentleman in town that was feeding the houseless, did a KRCR interview and showed up dead a few days later. So we're all pretty concerned about, you know, that. And so, but we know how important it is and how needed it is. And so, but with that, people are silently supporting and giving us either money or food. You know, some, like I said, local businesses where they know that the food is going to expire. So they'll give it to us so that we can give it out. You know, that we have such a food waste problem in the United States and it's craziness. So to get people that get wind of what we're doing and want to support us is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people can come at that from all different levels. We have people that like, man, I can't show up to this event, but I want to offer you guys cases of water. So I'm going to show up and just drop off some water. Mm-hmm. And that is huge for us, you know? Mm-hmm.
And it seems like for a lot of groups are in sort of some of the classic mutual aid texts mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. that if you're involved in that, there's a recognition that, hey, I might need something mm-hmm. too, that we're here for each other.
Yeah.
That it's not just a top down, yep. like, charity.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. We internal mutual aid for us is most important. We know that we need to support each other. Again, we have people from all different demographics, some people who live in their cars, you mm-hmm. know, and it blows me away. The people that give so much time and effort and their own resources and literally the shirt off their back when that's the only shirt they have.
Right.
You know? And so that has been really great and has kept me really going. That's like, man, these people are going, I got to keep going, you mm-hmm. know? And so we do a lot of internal mutual aid, making sure, you know, like car repair, You know, something as simple as like, okay, who knows how to do basic car repair? Who's got the tools to do basic car repair? Why don't we all gather in one place and change everybody's oil? We'll teach everybody how to do that. We'll teach everybody how to change a tire. And then they can go spread that. And now you don't have to waste $100 to go get your oil changed. You know, you can do it yourself. You know, and I'm a strong, independent woman, and there are a lot of things that I don't know how to do, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I don't know how to do them because I should be able to do that. But how silly is that? Mm-hmm. So again, hey, I need some plumbing done at my house. I don't know how to do plumbing, and I can't afford a plumber, but I am a former personal trainer. So hey, I can offer you personal training. Maybe I can help you build a garden. What, you know, I'll scratch my back, you'll scratch, you know, mm-hmm. the vice versa. And so that has been really important for us, is to make sure that we are all stable on our own feet before we can go out there and help everybody else. Same thing, yard sales. Hey, before we have a mutual aid for clothing, let's do it all amongst ourselves. And then the leftovers, then we'll go out and have a community yard sale. And so we really try to take care of our own. And it is really, it's the biggest and one of the biggest and best families I've ever had. Nothing against my own friends and family, right, but right. It has been really, really great. Yeah.
Yeah. That level of care yeah. and concern. And I noticed on your website, there was housing as well. And I'm guessing that's part of the helping people find, or I mean, there is so many barriers to housing, from the application fees to credit checks, all of those things. So when you talk about the housing support, what does that look like?
It's a piece we're still trying to figure out, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. we also know that just giving people resources, those resources are often empty. You know, resources are tapped. Yeah. You know, these people have called these phone numbers and these helplines forever, and they have had no assistance. And so it can be as easy, you know, and really on a personal level, that hey, you need somewhere to stay for the night. You know, people will reach out to us, hey, I'm traveling, I need somewhere to stay for the night. Hey, I got my stuff stolen, do you have a camping pad you can sleep on, that we can sleep on? And so things like that. But we are trying to expand the housing and things that we can offer people, because as of right now, it's really just getting people those resources. But we know that those resources are not only already tapped, they're going to be more tapped out with what's going on with the current administration and all of our cuts, and things are only going to get worse for lower income people for sure.
You're listening to Bending the Arc on KKRN, and I'm speaking to Ashley Post of Rare.
Another aspect that really drew my eye, in part because of some of my work with the mind-body medicine work that mm-hmm. came here after the fire and other things that I've done, but the healing that you know, that's one of your buckets, if you will, of care.
Yeah.
What does that look like, and how... You know, what are you offering or inviting people into mm-hmm. that you have found meets some of those diverse needs and interests and comfort levels?
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we started gathering, you know, we really were like, man, we're doing so much work that we need to make sure we're having fun too. So what does that fun look like for everybody? We got some crafty folks in the group. And, you know, so just getting together, getting your hands dirty, whether it be crocheting, sewing, and the conversations. It's like, you know, you sit down for an interview, you're always told, you know, somebody offers you water, drink the water. That sharing, breaking bread with somebody is really important. And so, you know, we sit there and teach each other how to sew and how to crochet and do these other things, and then talk about our greater visions for what we want in the world. And again, to be around a group of people that will, first of all, hear that and want to help that and want to expand that is, you know, the life-changing thing that, again, makes you feel seen and important and heard, and allows that authenticity in you to really flow, because you're like, man, people are eating this up. Let's keep talking about it. And so 2 hours later, we've solved world hunger in our own brains. But, you know, and then we're literally putting that work in, too. And we hold ourselves accountable for it too. And it's shared work. We try our best to share the load. Again, in the internal mutual aid and our internal mental health is most important. And so we really have tried to make sure we have fun, you know, take some trips together. You know, in the beginning, it was a little hard because we're all being very secretive about each other, not even sharing our real names. We are changing names. We still go by various alternative names, depending on what we're doing for our own safety. But with that, slowly gaining trust amongst our peers and knowing that that is the community that we need, you know, that again, the authenticity that I've been able to have with this group of people has made me feel more seen and heard than I have in my entire life, you know, and that has been the most impactful thing for so many people. They're like, man, I was ready to jump off a bridge before I met you people, literally, you know, and we had, you know, many people again with, again, being the extrovert, you know, when I see somebody that's struggling, you know, and being a nurse and having assessment skills and watching, you know, hey, is this person okay? And do I need to step in? Do they need some water? How can I be of help to this person? And going over and chatting, they're just like, man, this is just really scary. And it's like, it is, but I am so proud of you for being here, for doing the work and doing the best you can, you know? And so that's been really great seeing everybody again gain that strength in themselves and go, I know that this is right. And I want to stand on this soapbox and scream it to everybody. So thank you for holding the microphone for me.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really the difference between healing modalities and healing space and relationships, the healing power of community done well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been something I have been, it's a piece that's been missing my entire life. Again, traveling as much as I have, you know, it's a quote from Fight Club, but you know, I have a lot of single serving friends, you know, for many different reasons. And you know, with that, when you have a single serving friend, you're not really being yourself. You're not really telling that person, because again, and a lot of my circles that depending on the experience, it's not always welcomed. And so to be in an environment where you feel like you have the floor and you're not going to be chastised, you're not going to be hazed, you're not going to be teased, you're going to be heard, that changes people. That really does. So that's been great to see in other, myself and other people.
Yeah, that other aspect of that, or the other face that I think is so important, that is so needed now, is, you know, you said earlier, and you can ask, you know, stupid questions. And how I read that was really like, you can be curious. We're not going to assume that you need a certain level of knowledge or particular political persuasion. Like, clearly you care. So you're here. And let's educate each other.
Yeah. I love that curiosity. That, again, being a nurse. A nurse that thinks they know it all is a dangerous nurse. A nurse that understands, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. I don't know if you've ever heard that. The more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Right.
And the less you know, the more you think you know. And so it's great to get a group of people together that just goes, you know what, I don't know. Help me educate, or let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. And it's okay to say that you don't know. And I love that, for people to say, hey, you know what? I'm not too sure on what's going on in Gaza. Like, what, you know, could you maybe tell me a little bit? Or just that curiosity that creates that conversation.
Yeah. Great. Curiosity and being willing to rethink.
Yeah.
To learn and to change your mind.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's such a misunderstanding. I find this sometimes with students, is that you don't have to change who you are, your deepest held values, if you're changing your mind about things that maybe you've believed for a long time, or you think you believed, or you haven't addressed again. That it's hopefully we're all changing our perspectives the more experience and interaction we have.
That's how we grow. That's, you know, for the only way we grow.
For sure.
Yeah.
So if people, this is not the last question, it sounds like it, but if people were interested in finding out more and supporting, given that, you know, you're a community who likely is concerned about protection in this environment, right? We have to be protecting each other, and the trust gets built.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to interact, kind of learn about you and them, and you learn about them, how do you suggest they do that?
Yeah. Instagram is the first resource I tell everybody to go to. We do have in our bio, we have a get involved, you know, volunteer with us. You will get heavily vetted. We're going to know your cat's name in 5 minutes. So because we have to, again, the protection piece is huge. We know that we're going to have infiltrators. We know that we're going to have people. And so we take safety extremely seriously in many different ways. We try to cover ourselves security wise. So with that, Instagram is the best first source to send people, because they can click on the things that they want to do there. They can private message us, let us know how they want to be of service. In the questionnaire there, it's a pretty deep question asking about people's values and where you stand and what your history has been, what your knowledge is. And it's not a test. We don't care what your knowledge is. We just want to give an open floor, open-ended questions to kind of see where people are. And so that's probably the best way. You can catch us in the community, but again, you probably aren't going to know what we're doing unless you check the Instagram. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be probably for now the best resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people can always donate. So you mentioned several projects and things that you're involved with. If people are just like, can I send you my
We have a QR code there with the due donations. We love, you know, because all this stuff costs money. One of the things that we have also done that I've kind of taken on more personally, but I like it to be a way that Rare can get some vision in the community is having medical cooling booths at a lot of these events. I don't know if you saw me at Juneteenth. I had an event, and all of this comes out of my pocket. So these are things that I would love to have people sponsor. I think it's silly to go to an event and have to pay $5 for water. You know, I'm going to have a booth and I'm going to go buy $100 worth of water and give everybody water. That's ridiculous. We have, you know, walls and an evaporative air cooler, cool the area down, come in, sit down. You can chat. You don't need to talk to me. If you want to talk to me, great. You need any medical resources, you know, I've got, again, your basic things, maybe a little more than basic. And can give some medical care, you know, in town at some of these events. Cause I know so often I leave places cause it's just too hot. And so, that's been one thing that I think has been a really good, easy way for people to, visualize us and the way that they want to, you know, help out.
Mm-hmm. To circle back to something you said earlier, I know you've been, or it seems to me you've been a strong voice in like, okay, these big protests, there's a lot of different people with different needs. Let's make sure, like, who knows who the health professionals are and how are we going to take care of people who have problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things too, because people don't always tell what their needs are. You know, we all try to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and this is just what you got to do, right? And I think that's one of the biggest things is teaching people is no, that is not what you're supposed to be doing. We are not supposed to be isolated and alone and tackling this by ourselves. You know, motherhood is a prime example. You know, I'm a mother of two adult children now, and we have abandoned mothers. We have given them no community. And then we sit there and gaslight ourselves like we're terrible mothers, where we have no support. And so that's been huge. And people, I can't get them. You know, I have kids. Like, come bring them. We'll bring coloring books. I'll bring a little pool. You know, like, we want to support you as a mother and as a human. And so doing, you know, things like that. And just seeing what the needs are, because I don't even know what all of the needs are. So unless we have those conversations about what people need, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the shared ideology and some of the goals. And on your website, in a lot of your materials, there's this, you know, discussion of liberation, which again is a big concept that people either grab onto and like, yeah, I know what that means, or are fuzzy about. How do you all talk to people new to this kind of work about liberation?
It kind of goes beyond that even though, because people have no idea that they are not liberated.
right.
You know, I talk to so many Republican women that they are like, no, I can do everything I want and I've never been held back and I've never, and it's just like, there's such a missing piece here for you. You're not understanding. And so that's kind of making people realize that we are, in fact, not very free at all in many different facets of our life. And so getting people to understand that and then break free and understand, oh, wow, there's actually a lot here that I have been missing and I need to maybe go out and find my authenticity and liberate myself. And that's the biggest thing. You have to liberate yourself before you can ever think about liberating anybody else, because you don't know what they need. And so I think that everybody has to, and I think that's a little bit of where we're at right now. That's where you say those people in the middle are going through some deep internal struggles. And you know, there is a gigantic rug that is being pulled out from some people, and it's sad to watch. I've never wanted to, I don't say I told you so. I've never wanted to be right in some of these wild and crazy things that people have thought that these ideas are. And now that they're coming to fruition, they're like, oh my gosh, I maybe should have been listening. And I'm like, that's okay that you didn't, but you're here now.
You're here now.
And we understand too that we have to give people a soft resting place, or they're going to go back to some of their wild ways, or some of their, you know, thinking of the struggle that they don't understand is even there, you know, and they're continuing to perpetuate by their miseducation. So that's where, again, the education comes in, is like, wait a minute here, but we didn't have these rights until then, and this is actually not even happening. And so it's, again, that wake-up call of people being like, oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, you know, again, I'm a nurse that went through COVID that was... you know, arguing with people, no offense to anybody that works at Home Depot, but they're trying to argue with me about medical things. And I'm like, wait a minute here. I went to school for years for this. I would never come tell you how to frame a house. Maybe, you know, so, again, we come to a lot of people that just aren't ready for that conversation at all, because they understand that it's going to completely uproot their entire existence.
Right. Yeah. So we're coming to the end of our conversation here.
Man.
Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't, or anything else that you want to say as we wrap up?
No, I think we had a pretty great chat. I do. I know, again, that there are so many people out there that are hungry for change, and they don't know what that looks like. And they don't, you might not agree maybe with everything you see on our website. You might not agree with some of the ideals, but there's a lot of commonality in there. And that's what we hope, is to create that environment for people to come in and ask those questions and tell us what they need and what they want and what they see. And I remember at that meeting, you know, that I met you at, I was like, give me your ideas. You know, we're a spicy little group of people, you know, we're ready for some maybe civil disobedience. And like, what does that look to some of you people that have dreamed of this, but have never had that support? You know, because people, you know, there's many ways to protest. Just standing that out on the street is not a way. And so I think people coming to us and asking us, what are my own little ways that I can do a protest? You know, mm-hmm. And again,
be visible in the language that you all use.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that community is a protest in and of itself. And so I know I've said the word a million times today, but I really can't, you know, say it enough, because I know at how much I have really yearned for it for so long. And to finally have found a group of people like this, everybody needs this. I want everybody to have this, you know? And so, yeah, whatever your passion is and wherever you want to find change, come chat with us about it. And we'll see if we can help facilitate that for people.
Thank you so much,
Ashley.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You can learn more about the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition and KKRN by going to our respective websites. And our theme music is provided by Jacob Akana. And let them grow. But who believes I can't let go? No, I can't let go. No, I can't let go. Can't get high. No, I can't let go.